God bless you, folks. Open your Bibles, please, to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. The title of the thought this morning is, Would You Change Jesus Christ? Would you change Jesus Christ? We're on page 135. If you have your notes on our Bible study with you this morning, we'll be starting on page 135. Folks, this will be the 23rd week of our study. Hold firm to the foundation, a defense of the King James Bible. The Lord willing, we'll be finishing up next week. Next week will be the last week the way we've got it planned right now. So we've gone over the 20 weeks we originally said that we were going to go. But if the Lord continues to lead as He is now, I intend to finish it next week. But this morning I want to pursue the thought, would you change Jesus Christ? We'll read in John chapter 1, two verses in just a moment. But let me set the framework for our thought this morning before we begin. Folks, over the last 30 or 40 years, there have been approximately 3 to 4 new English versions of the Bible printed every year. The speed that those Bibles are being reprinted is not slowing down at this point in time. There are at least, that I'm aware of, there are at least 10 more versions, English versions of the Bible, that are in the works right now that have not hit the market yet. And so it's an ongoing thing. It's an unending thing. We've studied and mentioned it many, many times over the last couple of hundred years. There have been almost 500 versions of the Bible printed in English. Now, I know that's an overwhelming number, and some of you say, Brother Kirkpatrick, there's just no way that that can be true. But, folks, it really is true. And the fact is, most people don't realize the magnitude of this situation and exactly what's going on with it. We've mentioned many, many times, every time one of these Bibles is printed, they have to meet the copyright laws. In order to meet the copyright laws, there are several thousand changes that have to be made when they come out with a new version of the Bible. Several thousand changes have to be made just to get around the copyright law so that they can copyright this new version so that they can sell it and make money. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that every time a new version comes out, it gets further and further and further away from the true Word of God. Folks, the truth of the matter is there's only one version of the Bible, one true version of the Word of God in the English language, and that's the King James Bible. For 400 years, God has blessed and honored the King James Bible. Every great revival that you've ever heard about or that you've ever read about in the last several hundred years was brought about by God working through the King James Bible. Every great work and moving of God that you've ever heard about in modern times was brought about by God working through the King James Bible. You see, the basis is simply this. The King James Bible is the most blessed of God complete Bible that has ever existed in the history of mankind. In the days of the early church, you recall, they never had all at one time, all of the Word of God. In other words, during the early church, the Word of God was in the process of being given by God. The last book was given in about 96 A.D. The book of Revelation was penned down by the Apostle John before his death, and that fulfilled or finished the canon of Scripture. In other words, the Bible was complete with the giving of the book of Revelation, but the early church that we read about, say in the book of Acts, and when you read the book of Ephesians or any of the epistles and all, those people never had every single book of the New Testament in their hand when we read about those in the Word of God. The King James Bible is the Word of God for English-speaking people. Satan is working hard to try to get the Word of God out of the hands of people. His greatest weapon is translations. His weapon of mass destruction today is the constant retranslating of the Bible again and again and again and again and again. And every time a new version comes out, it's different and it's further from the truth of the Word of God. I want to talk about an aspect of that this morning that I think few people ever really stop to consider. And that is, when you change the Bible, the King James Bible, when you change that, in a real sense, you're changing the Lord Jesus Christ also. Let's begin our thoughts this morning at this time. When asked, if you were to ask people if they would change the Lord Jesus Christ, there's few people that I know of would answer yes. If you talk to people, at least if they have any church background at all, about the Lord Jesus Christ, they would never at least openly admit that, well, there's something I don't like about the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I could, I'd change Him. Folks, the fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus Christ is pure, and He's precious, and He's perfect, and there's no way in the world that you could ever improve upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, many of those people that say that they would never change the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't hesitate to change the Word of God, the King James Bible. I'm going somewhere with this morning. You see, the fact of the matter is, the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the living incarnate Word, the word incarnate, of course, means in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ is the living, incarnate Word, and your King James Bible is the living, written Word. And folks, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ and the Bible are inseparable. I did not say that they were the same. I said that they're inseparable. And there can be no question about that. We'll look at the Scriptures here in just a moment. There can be no question in the Word of God about that very fact that Jesus Christ and the Word of God are inseparable. They are inseparable to the point that I believe that to defend the King James Bible is to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that to honor the King James Bible is to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I believe that to change the pure, infallible Word of God, the King James Bible, is in a real sense to change the Lord Jesus Christ. I must confess to you before I continue on, I really don't understand all about what I'm talking about this morning. I know from the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the written Word, the King James Bible, I know that the Bible teaches that they are inseparable, but I would readily confess to you, I don't understand all that may be involved in that thought. But with that in mind, let's continue on. The giving of the Word of God to the world is the work of the divine Trinity. Folks, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit were all involved together with the giving of the Bible to mankind. The Father, God the Father, conceived the Word in His heart and mind before the foundation of the world and decreed its presentation to all of mankind. Remember, at the very beginning of this study, we studied about four things that God has done as far as giving the Word of God to the world. We said that the Word of God existed before the foundation of the world. We said that the Word of God was given by inspiration of God. We said that the Word of God is supernaturally preserved by God. And we said that God applies that inspired, preserved Word to accurate translations of the original language, like the King James Bible in the English language. You see, the giving of the Word of God to the world is the work of the Trinity. God the Father was involved. God the Spirit was involved. It's the Spirit of God that is the energizer of the Word of God. He's the one that gives its power and life. It's His ministry that was present and moved on men. The Bible says, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Folks, it's the Spirit of God that gives the life to the Word of God. So in the presentation, the giving of the Word of God to mankind, you had God the Father involved, you had God the Spirit involved, and folks, we've got God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ involved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that is the embodiment of the written Word. He's the one who displays it in truth and glory and perfection to all the world. You see, the Word of God that we have this morning, this King James Bible, this preacher, this Bible teacher believes. Folks, I believe that this is the pure, inerrant, infallible Word of God. I believe that this is the foundation of all spiritual truth for English-speaking people. And folks, if we ever let go, if we ever let go of the foundation of this Bible, we will be set adrift in a sea of doubt. And for the rest of our lives, we'll wonder if we really do have a word from Almighty God. I'm not the least bit concerned about that this morning. I'm not concerned about that, folks. I believe this is the foundation. I believe this is the Word of God. And I've just made up my mind, I'm going to hold to this King James Bible. Let's look at several things. I'll not finish this morning. I'm going to go as far as I can with this morning. I'll stop when it's time to stop this morning, and we'll finish up, the Lord willing, next week. But there's a couple of weeks' worth of information here, but we'll just go as far as we can. First of all, I want you to notice, now keep in mind, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about that the written Word, our King James Bible, and the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, are inseparable. They're inseparable. If you change one, you'll change the other. First of all, I want you to notice that Christ and the Word are inseparable. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, you said that about 15 times already. That's number 16. That's number 16. John chapter 1. Listen to what the Bible says very carefully. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Folks, who's that talking about? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Bible says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I believe that the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparable according to this Word of God. Look at verse 14 of this same chapter. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was made flesh at His birth? God Almighty, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, was born in the flesh of the Virgin Mary. The Almighty, eternal God, Jesus Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us. And folks, there's no question in John chapter 1 that the Bible is showing that the Word of God, the living written Word, and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living incarnate Word, they're inseparable according to the Word of God. They're inseparable. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. Remember, we get to the end of Revelation, and I'd love to spend a long time on this, but I'm just going to mention it. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in all of His glory. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13, and He, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Folks, we could stop right here this morning and I would have fulfilled my purpose. I wanted to emphasize this morning the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God is so important. It's so important that in the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, pure, precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is shown inseparable from the Word of God. It shows us how important this Bible is. And folks, I'm not going to allow anybody to mess with it without speaking up. I'm just not going to do it. This is the Word of God. This is what portrays the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory. And if you change this, you're changing the perfect Son of God. Again, I want you to notice this, that both Christ and the Bible are energized by the Spirit of God. Now, before I read Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, you remember all the miracles Jesus wrought during His earthly ministry. Jesus Christ did, I just love the miracles of the Bible. I mean, Jesus Christ did the obvious things that we all think about. I mean, He raised the dead. He told Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." He made the blind to see, and He made the lame to walk, and He made the deaf to hear. I love the stories. There's two or three accounts where the mobs were going to grab hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going to kill Him. And you remember on two or three different occasions, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ just went right through the midst of them and went right on His way, and they couldn't get a hold of Him. Have you ever thought about that? Now, folks, I want you to think about that. What was the deal there? Did they not see Him? Did they try to grab Him and couldn't? I don't know. I don't know how that worked, but I know this. That's a miracle, and that's a show of the power of God. What I'm saying is Jesus displayed His power as God many, many times in the Word of God by all the miracles that I've named. But you know what the greatest display of His power was? His greatest display of power was His resurrection from the dead. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Now where am I going here? I'm saying that both Christ and the Bible are energized by the Spirit of God. Jesus was. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." You see, Jesus and the Bible are inseparable. They're inseparable. They were both energized by the Spirit of God. Notice also that both Jesus Christ and the Bible are alive. Folks, you know what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world? Our Savior's alive. Our Savior is alive. Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross. He shed His blood and gave His life. He was buried. On the third day, He rose again, and Jesus is alive today, seated at the right hand of God the Father. You see, Confucius is not alive today, and Buddha is not alive today, and Muhammad is not alive today, but Jesus Christ is alive. You remember they went to the tomb, and the angel was there, and the angel proclaimed to those that came to the tomb, "He's not here, He's risen." Folks, He's alive. He's alive. But I want you to notice something. Not only is the Savior alive, but this Word of God's alive also. Listen to what the Bible says. It says, Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, "This is He that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers," now listen to this last phrase, "who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Lively or living oracles is the Word of God, the living Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Folks, the word quick means alive. Alive. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now you say, Brother Kirkpatrick, where are you going with this? I'm going with this that Jesus Christ and the Bible are inseparable. Well, that's where I'm going with this, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive today, and the word of God is alive today. You see the parallels between Jesus and the word of God that are developing this morning? Both the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible are exalted by God the Father. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him, talking about Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and he, talking about Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Folks, the Bible clearly teaches, I could go on and on and on with Scripture this morning. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ has been exalted by God the Father. But folks, the Bible also clearly teaches that the Word of God has been highly exalted by God the Father. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Now notice this last phrase. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Folks, that kind of make you think the word of God was important, wouldn't it? The Bible says that God Almighty has magnified his word even above his own name. I wonder if that's got anything to do with it being tied to the precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe so. Folks, I wonder if that means that this word of God is so important that I ought not to be messing with it and trying to change it. I'm convinced of that. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God are inseparable. And folks, because of that connection, we see the importance of the Word of God and standing true to it. Both Christ and the Bible are pleasing to the Father, even if men are not pleased with them. Now watch it. The Lord Jesus Christ pleased the Father, and the Father was pleased with the Son. Even though many men, even in his day, despised the Son of God, wanted to kill him, refused to listen to him, wouldn't believe on him, questioned whether his words were true, but the Father was pleased with him. The Bible declares in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now folks, the Father was pleased with the Son. Regardless of what individual men thought of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father was pleased with God the Son and said so. But folks, God the Father is pleased with the Word of God too and said so. The Bible says in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them, now the Son speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. You see, folks, the Word of God testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ are inseparable. And God the Father said, I'm pleased with the Son, and I've exalted the name above, the Word of God above my own name. He's pleased with His Word. Both the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And since we're talking about the King James Bible this morning, that's what I'll talk about. But let me throw this thought in here, lest anybody misunderstand. There are other Bibles in other languages that are the Word of God also. As long as it's an accurate translation of the original Word of God, it also has the approval of God. But we speak English this morning, and we're talking about the King James Bible this morning. Both accomplish and still do the will of the Father in the midst of unbelief and rejection. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, the Bible says this, and he went a little farther, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As far as his humanity was concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ was not looking forward to the cross, folks. As far as his perfect deity was concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ was not looking forward to having the sins of all of mankind placed on him on the cross. And when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in the garden, he showed that turmoil that was within him, and he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, there's a good lesson there. Folks, you might as well be honest with God when you pray. Might as well be honest with God. If there's something that you're facing that you feel like that you have to do, and maybe even God wants you to do it, you might as well tell God, if you feel that way, God, if I had my way, I'd rather not do that, but Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. Might as well be honest with God. He knows anyway. Folks, He knows anyway. Jesus prayed and He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In John chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he's hanging on the cross. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ did the perfect will of the Father, even in the midst of unbelief and rejection. The Lord Jesus Christ did the will of the Father. Folks, do you know that the living Word of God does the will of the Father also? Listen to what the Bible says. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Folks, in the midst of unbelief and rejection, even though men have sought to corrupt following the leadership of Satan, even though men have sought to corrupt the pure Word of God hundreds of times in the hundreds of different versions, God still accomplishes His will when the Word of God is sent forth into the world. Both the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God accomplish the will of the Father in the midst of rejection and unbelief. Both Christ and the Word are truth. The Bible says, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible's the truth. The Bible says in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Folks, it comes down to this. It's really this easy. I'm not oversimplifying or anything. It comes down to this. Either the Word of God is the truth or it's not the truth. If you choose any of the other English versions that you want to, there's a listing in your notes. Since 1881, there's been 130 something different English versions of the Bible. You pick either one of them, doesn't matter which one, pick any of those 130 something versions, compare it to the King James Bible, and it'll be different from the King James Bible in many, many thousands of places. Common sense tells you that things that are different are not the same. Folks, common sense will tell you that if you've got two versions of supposed to be the Bible, and one has thousands of changes from the other, that both of them can't be right. Folks, either one's true or it's not true. I've got to finish up. Both Christ and the Word are shining lights in the midst of a sin-darkened world. I'll not spend the time on that right now. Both were sent forth from God the Father but remained unknown by the world. Both Christ and the Word of God are essential for salvation. Jesus died on the cross, and the Word of God is the one that tells us all about that. Folks, both Christ and the Word were forsaken late in their ministry. Jesus Christ was facing Calvary's cross. The disciples had been with Him during the 3 years of His public ministry. The Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus Christ was apprehended, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56, and then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14 and verse 50, and they all forsook Him and fled. The Bible says that late in His ministry that they forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. I submit to you this morning the same thing is happening to the written Word, the King James Bible. After 400 years of the blessings of God, we're living a day now where they're trying to tell us that this Bible is not good enough anymore, that we need a new version, something more modern. You see, late in its ministry, after 400 years, men are treating the living written Word just like they treated the living incarnate Word. They're forsaking it and going after something else. Folks, let's just hold to the foundation. This is the Word of God. This is the book that's been blessed of God. This is where you'll get the blessings of God on your heart and life. Let's just stand for the good Word of God. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Blessing the service to follow, I ask in Jesus' name, amen.